AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
When I clock out of the hospital at 6 p.m., I'm not done for the night. That's when Gamer Nurse 40 clocks in, and she's got orcs to slay. Sure, I'm playing a 13-year-old in Scranton, but he's a level 53 mage with a filthy mouth, so I need to stay on top of my game. What'd you call me?
That's when I crack open a Heineken 00. Zero alcohol, but just as refreshing.
So I can focus on stealing his gold before his mom tells him it's bedtime. Take that, kids.
Heineken 00. 0.0% alcohol. Now you can. Must be 21 plus to purchase. Enjoy responsibly.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
GEICO asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, GEICO can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
So Tottenham Hotspur have just smacked. What is the best team in Korea? Because it's all the good players from all the good teams, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know what it is. What is it?
It's they have to pick two players from every league team within the K League. So it's not quite the best players, but yeah, very very best.
Well, hold on a minute. If we did that in the Premier League, if you had to pick two players from Norwich, would they be any good?
Well, yeah, but you're thinking about position, aren't you? So.
If you had to pick two players from Norwich, couldn't name two players from Norwich. That's a bad, bad question. Well, how about two players from Aston Villa? If you had to pick two players from Aston Villa to face Tottenham Hotspur, who would you pick?
What's the young lad called?
Matty Cash.
No, McGinn and the young lad, Jordan. Is it something Jordan?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
The good one.
So we beat them.
And, Ramsey from Villa, that's it.
Yeah, he is pretty good, him, actually. I know you can't take anything from the first game in pre-season. And it did feel... Okay, good, we will do that. But it did feel like this is an exhibition to just boost the massive popularity that Tottenham Hotspur have in Korea. Hands down, the biggest team in Korea from the English Premier League. They said that on the commentary, so that is a fact. So it felt a bit like that, but even Conte afterwards said the game was funny. And he said that with a smile on his face. So I'm not sure how much he's taking from it. But what did you take from it, Alex?
I mean, it was fun to watch.
It was mental, popcorn, wasn't it? I thought some of their players, Yang, especially on that right-hand side, was mustard.
Yeah, very good. A lot of what you'd expect, a lot of technically able players, individually technically skilled and diligent, fit. You know, you've got to remember they're halfway through their season as well. So, probably up to speed a little bit more in terms of...
So all these players have been playing?
Yeah, they go back to club duty like next week, yeah.
Oh, well, all right then. Yeah, okay, so now I get it. Now I get why they're so fit. And it became... I was looking at them going, why? These guys are good. Like, why are we struggling against these lot? But they were retaining the ball. Just the skill that some of them had as well, which maybe I'm being dismissive. Maybe the K-League is better than I thought it was, or I'm just the typical Luddite you might expect. But, yeah, that was a challenge to some degree. Certainly in the first 20 minutes, it was a proper football match.
Yeah, and we're getting used to, we're playing with different players, you know, a different midfield. Obviously, Skip starting again for the first time in a long time. Richarlison making his debut. Lucas just doing whatever the fuck he wants. You know, it's just, it was fine. It was good. It was fun to watch. We saw some goals. We got to see a bit of Richarlison. We got to see a bit of Saar. You know, it's a shame Basuma didn't make it, obviously. But, on the whole, yeah, I mean... What you want from a first game in pre-season, I guess.
Yeah, all right. Let's pick some players to talk about from their performances in the game. Again, the caveat always. This is the only caveat we're going to make. It's a first. It's the first game in a pre-season camp that's halfway around the world, and that's it. I mean, we understand what it is, but what did you make of Richarlison's performance generally? Like his touch and his ability to influence the game.
Rubbish. I said not to sign him in the first place. So.
That's ridiculous.
Nah, it was fine. What will be different about him is the different types of runs and the different types of chances I think he'll have to Kane and to Son. You know, the chances in terms of what he makes for himself. You know, we saw some nice touches. He
he's going to draw a lot of fouls, isn't he?
Yeah, and he took that one down the right-hand side and sat that defender on his ass, and then second touch wasn't great. You know, but, you know, he'll get there. You know, in terms of another option across that front four, let's say now, with, you know, if you include Kulusevski as well as Son and Kane, he offers something different to the other three, which is good. It's what we've wanted. We know we can't go out and sign a, you know, I'm not saying we would sign Lewandowski, but, you know, we couldn't go out and sign a premium striker ready to go who's going to be happy to sit on the bench because he can only play through that central role. We know that's not going to happen, and it's almost impossible to do. So in terms of other players in there, look, I'm not a huge fan of the Richarlison signing, but he makes sense.
Why do you keep saying that?
I'm just not on the train. Is he here now?
He's here now.
Yeah, and I'm right behind him. Like I said,
You said you want a big fan. Are you on the train or not?
Well, I'll remain to be real. I hope I'm completely wrong, but I'm not confident.
Do you know what happens if you're not on the train? You're left at the station and watching it go off to glory.
Right.
You want to be that guy left at fucking Runcorn as it marches off back to London, the place of Tottenham Hotspur's birth? Do you want to be left in Runcorn in the north?
Yeah, but the nature of football means I'll be able to just teleport to the glory station and no one will be any the wiser.
Indeed. As is the situation with Ben Davies at the moment.
Exactly. So I've sent a picture in the group of me just sizing up my Ben Davies new home shirt, and I'm waiting for you to purchase it, and then that'll be extra Patreon content as well.
Can you purchase it and then I'll give you the money, because I'm never going to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
I've got a lot on my plate, mate. I'm a very busy man. Very busy man.
No, I thought he did. I thought he played well. He did all right. And it's just one of those where he needs to get, you know, it's frustrating that he's going to miss the first game of the season. But, you know, would he have started anyway if all three were fit?
No, I don't think so. So Skip came into the game, first game he played since January. And it was, while obviously, again, actually, no, I'm not going to do the caveat again. He played well. He looked comfortable. It was his pass, his decisive passing in midfield when he got it. Whereas when Saar came on, it was a little bit pedestrian compared to what Skip was doing. He was getting the ball and just finding the man between the space, and his passing ability is underrated. And I think we've forgotten how good Skip is and how important he's going to be this season, because a lot of people are talking about, you know, the tackling percentages and the prowess of Højbjerg and Bissouma as players that break down play. But we're forgetting how good a player we've got in Skip. And it was just a reminder, while it doesn't matter, it was a reminder that Skip is back. He's free from injury. He's had a huge, huge layoff in terms of, you know, we're talking 6 months, which is a massive layoff in professional football. Now he's back. I'm really excited about what he's going to do this season. And not saying he's going to be our midfield general or be the guy that stays in midfield. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the fact. I wouldn't even be surprised if in a year's time he's being looked at as an England midfielder. But to have him around the squad and knowing the amount of games we've got to play is a fantastic thing, isn't it, Al?
Yeah, I thought he did really well. You know, he's a different player to Saar, obviously. He's a lot busier. Everything is not 100 miles an hour, but, it, you know, everything is relatively intense with Skip and has a purpose. And he's going to be extremely useful for the squad. There's a lot of games coming, and he is one of those where you do feel like you can depend on him. If he needs to come on with half an hour to go, it doesn't feel like we're dropping in quality now. And that's the difference when it would be when Winks would come on or, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
He did well. He did well. He looked busy. You know, touch was off a little bit and some second balls maybe not going as into as quickly as we've seen him before. But like you say, first game, you know, he's got to ease himself back into it. I actually do think it might take a while with him to get back up to perhaps what we were seeing when he was really rocketing along. Yeah. It will come.
Yeah, but the injury was significant enough. So, I mean, it would definitely come. Like, the players, you know how good he is because Conte rates him so highly. And he did, towards the end of the season, was, you know, lamented how big a loss Skip was when we didn't have him in, you know, from, like I say, pretty much from January. So what else did you take from the game? Like, what other little bits and snippets did you think, you know, we did
couple
well?
Of special mentions. Yeah, a couple of special mentions. I thought Brian Gill played very well.
Yeah.
There's something there with Brian Hill. There is something there.
The fact that he's taken him and started him in the first game.
Yeah, and I just think...
he didn't take Lo Celso, he didn't take Ndombele. So what does he see in Gill, do you think?
We don't know. I mean, I think, you know, he still might be one that still goes out, but there might not be a deal that's anywhere near close at the minute. So you think, well, we'll take him anyway. You know, and I think that's probably why Reguilon was left behind, which, you know, to the surprise of a few people. I think it probably just means that a deal for Reguilon is maybe a little bit further down the line. Perhaps.
Yeah, both Juve and Sevilla are interested in him, apparently.
Yeah, but I think I like Hill. You know, I don't see any downside of him being in the squad. I hope he stays this year. But it for me, the only thing he's lacking is that, you know, a few times, and this has been the case since he's been there, every time that we counter and he seems like he's got a bit of space, it's not always a massive, huge amount of intent going forward. He does look for a relatively safe pass at times where I think he doesn't need to. But like I said, he's someone that I think will be very useful. I'd like to see him in the squad for this year. Again, five subs changes so much now for a match day squad. So I thought he did well. I fucking love Pepe Mata Sarr.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Hopefully a UK or a domestic loan. That's what I think he'd benefit most from. A Premier League loan, if we can.
Yeah,
get
only because of the numbers we have in centre midfield right now. But I think he's just really calm, and he's everywhere. But he's not everywhere in the same way that Skip or Winks or someone like Sissoko was kind of all over the pitch. He just looks like he's never really out of a jog, and he's still everywhere, you know, wanting the ball, wanting it to feet in difficult positions. We'll take it into possession from any position. I love players like that. He looked really, really good. When you consider his age and where he's been playing, yeah, I'm excited about him. Like I said, maybe not for this season, but he's definitely someone that... you can see the level of quality. I'm sure if you compared him to other players his age, you know, he would stand out like a sore thumb. He was good. I thought Dyer was great.
Before going into that and just sticking with Sarr, like, I'll take your mum's possession from him, any position, just so you know.
Okay, well, it's nice of you to... I mean, how many minutes is that we're in? What's that? 15 minutes in before terminally ill mum was targeted.
Stop fucking always caveating that with the other bit.
It's a fairly big caveat, I'll be honest with you.
Because it makes me look like an idiot then. You know, before, everyone was going, look at him, look at that lad. Given the depth that we have in midfield, would you be happy to send Sarr to the Championship? Similarly to the way that, you know, Skip went to the Championship and made his name at Norwich. Would a similar loan in a similar system?
I'm not sure a Championship is the right place for him. I think I think he might be able to get a lower
player. You want him to play 30 to 35 games a season.
Yeah, I think the nature of the Championship might not. I'm not sure what he'd learn from it. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, what do I know? But I'd like to see. If he does go, I'd like to see like a promoted club loan, you know, where him playing 15, 16 Premier League games, I think would be better for him and the type of player he is and where he plays and what he does than perhaps a Championship loan. But I'm not sure. But with the depth, I'm not sure the game time will be there for him to really develop with us this year. But I am excited about him.
It does not matter about the level of opposition when it comes to Eric Dier's goal. Way he won the ball, broke, played a 1-2 with, was it Gill? Hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1-2 with Hill, took it on, found the space, and for a centre-back, I know in the modern game it's not that rare, but it still is rare to see any player score on their weak foot. No less a centre-back to score on their weak foot. The goal was unreal. First, I thought it was a flecky, and then I watched the replay. I was like, wow. I mean, that was what a finish that was.
A what?
A wow.
No, what did you say? A flecky?
A deflection.
Fuck, you've been hanging around with football people for way too long if you're saying things like fucking
flecky. No, I'm hanging around with young people now, and they're educating me about how you need to talk about football. Little flecky, little fleck dog. Little Robert Fleck. If I'd have said Robert Fleck, that would have been fine, wouldn't it?
No.
No, that would have been
just
fine.
Just say that's, the that's words sort of, that football uses.
No, that's more like Cockney rhyming slang or Robert Fleck.
Yeah, but that's not. I honestly, sick of it. Oh, today, listeners, right? Flav has used the term DUI, American term, and he said gas instead of like put my foot on the gas.
Yeah, just so those two, when I was talking about this, this wasn't an incident that involved me in terms of drinking under the influence and putting my foot on the gas. It was just, I don't remember what it was about. Something else.
He was just talking about cars and just throwing in Americanisms left, right and centre. Sick of it.
I love my American brothers. Every single one of them.
But yeah, no, it was a good goal. You might argue that he probably wouldn't have had that. I'm not sure he would have been able to make that 1-2 in the Premier League. And he maybe
1-2, but I don't think he would have got the space for the shot.
Yeah, I think he might have been pressed a little bit higher. And I think that that back line might not have been as lower block starting point as perhaps they were. But still, you take nothing away from the finish. I mean, it was remarkable.
What was a continuation, though, of what our centre-backs were doing the latter part of last season under Conte's system? Mm-hmm. Sanchez as well got free with a goal. The first chance on goal, which was a ball was played into Romero. Can't remember who it was, but no, I think it was Richarlison, played it into Romero, looped it over for Sanchez, and he hit a shot at the keeper. But it was, you know, well connected. But
and if
Sanchez,
you think about it, you could see that from any of the central defensive positions players that we have now across those three centre halves. You know, Davis can do that. Davis can bring a ball out and join in attacks. We've seen that numerous times. Obviously, Romero we know can do it. We know Dyer can do it because, you know, another life, he has been a midfielder. He's perfectly comfortable in possession. Longley, I think that was probably one of the biggest, you know, and we know he was further down the list than most, but that's probably his biggest selling point, the fact that he's able to do that. Sanchez, maybe not.
But he was in the position. He was doing what he's asked to do, even though he's not, he doesn't have that.
But really, he's the only one. You know, even Tanganga, you think, really is relatively comfortable doing that. He's the only one out of the five or six of them that you think, yeah, that's, you know, we're asking a lot from him there. All the rest can do that to some extent, which is good. You're seeing, you know, that development and that plan that Conte wants happen. It's always good when you can actually see tangible things that are changing and developing within the squad.
Did you see much of the or any of the clips or tweets about the training session we had a couple of days ago before this game? There won't be a Spurs fan listening to this. I haven't seen it, but just in case, after 2 hours of training, normal pre-season training, perhaps not normal, but intense pre-season training, they were made to do. If you believe this is what I've been told, I hate saying stuff like that because it makes me sound like, oh, I've been told stuff that other people know. But what I've been told by someone who may not know fuck all was 48 lengths or something along those lines. Some mad, mad distance running. And the players were absolutely fucked. But two players that came out shining were Sanchez and Saar.
And like Troy Parrott. Troy Parrott was the only one left standing at the end of it.
Mate, what'd you make of him? Because he came on. It's so difficult for him. It did all right, but it's just what does any kind of inclusion in the pre-season mean for their placement in the squad in the next season? It doesn't mean a lot.
No, he knows this. He's been talking this week, I think, to Alistair Gold. But the plan is, you know, his plan and the club's plan is that he gets a really strong loan move this year, and his target is to really try and force something with, you know, at Tottenham.
What do you think strong is?
He needs a Premier League load. He needs a lower tier Premier League load. I mean, he's a starting international striker for one thing. You know, he's done his year in the Championship. You know, either a strong Championship loan, you know, with someone who is favourite to win that league, or he gets a promoted club and get some Premier League minutes. But yeah, he's talked.
Do you know what I was impressed by him is he's massive. Like he looked like a fully grown man. Whereas under Mourinho, where you know there was a lot of chat about him getting a chance when he was killing it in the development squad, he looked a little bit slight. But now he looks like a man. He looks like someone who could hold up a line or have some sort of physical influence. And he may have technical abilities that I'm not aware of. And I know he scored some really good goals in on loan last season. But he looked physically like there was a point where Kane dropped off to the right. Because Parrott came on and Kane was still on the pitch, and the physical difference between them wasn't seismic.
No, I mean we've seen clips of him, you know, working throughout the summer, and I do think I think he will get that loan, but I think it might not happen until January because I think with the whole homegrown thing, I think they might decide to keep him around. You know, if we don't make any more homegrown signings or not enough, I think he might end up staying around, and I think you'll see him get some minutes possibly between now and January. And then I think he might go. It all depends on who and if we sign anyone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's developing and he's at that age now where it is, you know, particularly for a striker, you know, it's kind of sink or swim. This is a big, big year for him. You know, wherever he goes, whether it is top of the Championship or bottom of the Premier League, it's a big year for him. And I think he's talked quite publicly about that.
Well, Southampton, I don't know what they've done in the transfer window, but they've lost the Chelsea forward. And I wonder if Parrott could then sort of fill in for Southampton.
I think that's what they're going to be trying to do. They're going to be trying to see if they can find him, you know, lower down in the Premier League for sure. You know, it's not like there's a massive array of decent striker options at the minute. It is one of those positions that just is harder to fill. And with five subs again coming up, it makes those options for a Premier League loan a lot more likely. Whether it will happen or not, let's see. But it's definitely more likely now.
We've got a question here from Tazwar Zavir, and he says, Flav, you once said that you'd let Nuno fondle you after we won against City on our first day of the season last season. What would you let Conte do if we win a trophy this year? What would you do? Anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much do whatever he likes. He could spank me with one of those paddles with his face on that we saw today. but instead of the song names on the back, it would just be all the names I want him to call me whilst he's doing it.
Give me one of those names.
I don't know.
Petal.
Worm. Petal.
Worm. Yeah. Worm. Fucking worm. Where did that come from? You've had that banked. You've used that before, haven't you, in the bedroom?
Some unoffensive, you know, petal, petal, champ, sport.
Littlen. What about Littlen? The thing is about this is that by us winning a trophy this year, and it's still a big if, doesn't matter what we've done in transfer window or, you know, the change in direction of the club that seems like it's geared towards success, it's still really hard to win a trophy. And we shouldn't be too disappointed this season if we don't win a trophy. You've got to be realistic how difficult it is and how many amazing sides and how much money these sides have that we're competing with. But if he does do it, it changes the narrative aimed at Spurs. Mm-hmm. The most difficult thing that Spurs fans have to live with right now is the fact that whenever you celebrate any success, you've got other fans saying, if that means something to you, if you're unable to switch off from that, the other fans say, well, that isn't a trophy. If we win one or two, or if we win a big one, which makes all the difference, then there's nothing they can do. And Conte pretty much has saved us from any kind of difficulties that you might face in dealing with other fans, if that means.
But you have to, like I said, you know, we've had this discussion a bazillion times, but you have to detach yourself from that, because if you look at it logically, where that whole trophy thing came from was how much praise and how impressive we were under Pochettino, with everyone saying, you know, this is great, and we basically won everything else you could win in terms of individual accolades and, you know, points over a 2-year period and, you know, unbeaten at home and, you know, and all this stuff. But because it didn't result in anything tangible, that's what was then aimed at us. But when you look at it logically, you've had Man City you know, who are levels above, obviously, almost everyone for a very obvious reason, winning like 7 of the 8 of the last League Cups. You've got the FA Cup won by either Liverpool or City, you know, and Arsenal have managed to get in. You know, it's those Arsenal winning those two FA Cups is the issue in the last 10 years, because they've not been as good as us and still managed to get something over the line.
That's the issue.
If they'd never won either of those FA Cups, we'd be at a pretty much a level playing field now. You know, that argument wouldn't even really be able to...
It wouldn't hold anything, yeah.
But you've got to remember, we're in a period of time where you've got a Liverpool team and a Man City team, which are arguably the two best teams in Europe, in the Premier League. And you know, win the majority of the trophy. So not only have you got to get to those finals, you've got to beat one of these exceptional teams.
And the things that we can hold on to as Spurs fans is the fact we did beat them last year. I mean, we didn't, you know, technically we didn't beat Liverpool. We drew twice, but we would have, I mean, facing Liverpool this season, I think mentally we're all as Spurs fans, in a different position as we were last season. Yeah. Where we think we can get a result against them. We can beat the best teams. We beat Man City twice. Home and away, we beat them. So we can do that now.
That's what I mean. But you look at it, you say, who wins trophies in England over the last 10 years for the most part? Chelsea, Man City and Liverpool. Yeah. United haven't. And Arsenal have thrown in an FA Cup. You know, so you know, that's every other club in the Premier League that ever has any type of success or anything that's worth noting or praising. You know, but they don't get that because it's not on them. And that, you know, it's frustrating to see when you like look on a thread or you look at the replies to a certain tweet and all the rest of it. I mean, it's ridiculous, really. But you know, I think we're at a point now where we can be like, Christ, you know, that is literally all anyone's got now, because they can. Everything else is great. Stadium's great. One of the best managers in the world. Golden Boot win it last year. The best number 9 in the world, arguably, you know, or up there at least. You know, a defender in Romero that every other Premier League club would take in a heartbeat. And Bissouma, which, you know, another one that everyone would probably take if they could. So, think of it as a last resort of what people have left to say over the last, not just this year, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years.
You mentioned Bissouma as a new signing then and how, you know, influential he could be and how many other teams might have wanted him. Harry Raymond asks, which new player will have the biggest impact this season?
I mean, I'm excited about Bissouma, but he's one of those who I know is very good on the few times that I've seen him, but I've not watched him a huge amount. But I'm excited because I think he's just exactly what we need, and he's a level up. So I'm excited to see him, but it's hard to say without, you know, I was really looking forward to seeing him today, so that was a shame. But, you know, we've seen the clips of bits and pieces of the open training that I've seen. And he's just, you know, he's clearly very, very good.
So is it Bissouma for you? You know, your gut, you think is Bissouma?
I think it can only be Bissouma, really, because, you know, Perisic is as good as he will be. I think he'll be like, you know, that steady Eddie, but of a higher level than perhaps we've had in Reguilón. Longley, I don't think necessarily will even start to start with. So there's that. And, you know, he's got the biggest potential curve, Longley, because if he goes back to, you know, the Longley was before he got to Barcelona, then that's a hell of a signing. And Richarlison, you know, will he start every week? You know, probably not. Whereas Bissouma, you'd like to think he's probably going to start every week. So really, for me, it can only really be him where you're like, wow, you know, we're seeing something really different with this starting 11 than we did last year.
I don't think there'll be much difference between Bissouma and Perisic. I think those two will be our standout players of the new signings.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm still not sure where I am with Sessegnon as well, either. So I hope you're right.
But he's going to learn a lot from Perisic. You know, he's brought in to work under Perisic and will get games because you know, we know how much Conte changes his wingbacks. And the fact that we've got three right, potentially, if we buy Jed Spence, three right wing backs, then there'll be a... and the fact we haven't listened to offers for Emerson, and Emerson is very much a part of the squad now, it seems, that you know, we're going to have a massive rotation, certainly in that wing back role. There's a question from Chris Bjorn. He says, is Eric Dier now the best central defender from England? Do we need to cover in that position? If so, who? How much do you rate Eric Dier now? Because the fact that he isn't even in the England squad and people like Maguire and Cody are, seems to me that Southgate's made his mind up about who is in his central three or two, depending on how he plays. And the fact that Eric Dier isn't even in contention, no matter how well he has played since Conte come in, is baffling to me. I think he is England's best centre back at the moment.
I think. Well, I mean, look, you know my thoughts on Southgate. It's way too much management with heart and not enough head. I'm trying to think if you'd offered me, you know, if someone said, right, here's Harry Maguire, do you want him instead of Dier? No. Here's Cody, do you want him instead of Dier? No.
Yeah.
Tomori, maybe. But other than that, really, I mean, I can't really think of anyone else.
Probably shows a lack of quality that we've got at the back. Stones and...
I mean, I like
Ben
Stones,
White. Would you say
would I swap him with Eric Dier? Probably not.
Would you swap Ben White with Eric
No,
Dier?
Obviously not. No,
but for reasons outside of football, right?
No, I think he's awful. The only one that I would go, yeah, all right, let's swap that, would be Tomori.
Charlie G. So he says Kane, Son, Kulu, and Richarlison will score a minimum. Of 15 goals each next season, changed my mind. So when I read that, I was like, that's ridiculous. Of course not. That's 60 goals a season from four players. But Kane and Son, guaranteed. Kulu, based on his form towards, you know, the first 6 months of his career at Spurs, will get there. Richarlison will have to perform out of his skin to get 15 because he's not going to get the opportunities. But not outside of his capabilities, especially the way we play. Not forgetting we scored untold goals towards the
15,
end.
15 each is an ask. But if you
that's in the season. That's not Premier League goals, obviously.
Yeah, I know. But I think what's more likely is 60 plus goals contributed by the four of them, with all of them contributing at either a brilliant level or an okay level. You know, it won't be like 30 each for Son and Kane and nothing for Kulu and Richarlison.
Is 70 goals out of four of them out of the question? Because that is insane. It's not out of the question.
Well, how many did Kane got? What, 27 last year in all competitions?
Yeah, I don't even know what Son's
getting
got,
on for 30. Yeah. So that's 57.
Kulu
8. 10, 67. Yeah. 70 plus, I think, is not out of the... And you think of where the other goals come from in the team. You know, we had own goal, and it was like right up there for us last year. You know, where those other goals are going to come from. Bissouma will chip in one or two, I'm sure. You know, Perisic will. Højbjerg...
You've got four forwards that are finishing, you don't need goals to come from...
No, but, you know, but they do come from other places, you know, particularly when it comes to set pieces and things like that. And we've just obviously hired this set piece coach as well. So those might get shared around a bit. And what you might find is that Kane actually doesn't play every minute of every game now, because obviously Richarlison's there as well. I think, you know, the emphasis on the goals is now spread across that four, you know, it will get chipped in with people like, Dier will get a couple, Perisic will get a few, you know, Højbjerg will get a couple, Bissouma maybe one or two, you know, but the rest of it is all going to be focused through them, yeah. So not out of the question.
Aphex Triplets, he says, not a question, but a statement. Harvey White and Skip start when we kick off the season. Harvey White does not... I mean, I don't know if he's joking or not, but Harvey White doesn't start. Skip... No. If Skip starts, I wouldn't be surprised. Just because of how much Conte rates him.
It's going to be difficult, that midfield, because a fresh Højbjerg is someone I don't want. It's someone I'm happy being in there. Bentancur is obviously... Bentancur, and then you've got Bissouma that needs to play.
Bissouma's out. Who's the main guy out of that four? It's Bissouma.
You'd like to think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd like to think so. My thinking would be, you know, if it started tomorrow, would be, you know, Lloris, Davis, Dier and Romero. Perisic, probably Doherty, if he's fit. And then Bentancur, Bissouma, and then the three.
I would go Basuma, Skip. If they're all fully fit, that's what I would do. That's what I would do. I'd have no issue with Basuma or Hoybier or any sort of different version of that midfield. I'd be absolutely fine with it.
I think out of the four, you know, at the top is Basuma for me, Bentancur, Hoybier, and then Skip.
You're not. There is no combination at midfield which starts against Southampton. You think, oh, fuck. And we've
Skip
had
and
that.
Hoybier, I'd be a little bit disappointed. I won't
Skip,
lie.
Skip and Hoybier.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I would have no issue with them. No issue. Yeah. I really want Basuma to just start every game, but I know what you're saying. Benny Boy, he says, I know it's only pre-season, but is Emerson Royale genuinely good enough to be a starting right wing back?
No.
I think
it's somewhere that I'll be really, really disappointed if we don't sign another right wing back.
Yeah, but if Doherty starts, it wouldn't be the end of the world, right?
Be disappointed. If we go into this season without an upgraded right wing back, as much as I think Doherty has done well and improved since Conte's come in, he's not, you know, if we're taking this new mentality and this is where we want to be as a club, if we take that to the nth level, then that position is someone we all identified throughout the whole of last season and at the end, regardless of how good Doherty was in the last six or seven games or the last six games before he got injured. That's a position that needs upgrading. And if we can't, then okay. And then it's fine. It's not the end of the world. But if we're going to do this, and this year is massive, this year is so important for this club. You know, we've gone. It's a position that needs to be filled, ideally. And I think we. It'll be a big disappointment for me if there is not someone signed for that position. Not necessarily someone that starts every. You know, I'd like it to be, you know, someone incredible that go right. They are first choice. Bang, away they go. But if there is not an upgrade on one of those two, I do think we'll regret it.
J-Mac asks, who's going to take our free kicks this season? My pick is on Sonny if Harry Kane lets him. So you saw this scenario where Son won the free kick that got the player sent off. And they were both standing over the ball. Given the fact that Heung-min Son, you know, he scored some bangers for South Korea in the latter part
Did
of the season.
Get off?
Son got someone sent off by running through. It was a ball played through by.
I must have missed that. Okay.
It was the foul that led to the goal by Harry Kane.
I saw the free kick, yeah, but I didn't see what happened up to it. I must have tuned out.
Yeah. So basically that happened. Son got brought down. Their player got sent off, and they were both standing over it, and the Korean crowd were like. And what I've got to say something about the Korea. They were fantastic because they weren't. While there were no chanting, and obviously there's not going to be because it's a different type of crowd and stuff. Their excitement when something good happened was completely relevant to how an English fan base would follow. So while we would make a different sound, theirs was like a undulating sort of.
It was great every time there was like a long ball. Every time someone did a Cruyff turn, it was like, but, ooh,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
brilliant.
They were celebrating football. That's what I felt. I thought, and that's not me being condescending. That was about them. It just seemed like an air of positivity. Like every time someone done something good, there was this wave of sound that sort of, you know, supported that move or that ball or the opportunity that was about to happen. I thought they were fantastic. Really, really good. And again, that is not me being patronising at all. I really enjoyed.
They were having a huge amount of fun watching top end world elite footballers.
So we got to
nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong with that. It's always thought it was fantastic. So we're in a situation where Heung-min Son's won the free kick. Heung-min Son has taken free kicks for South Korea and scored them. Harry Kane hasn't scored a free kick realistically ever. I know we give him.
He scored the last free kick he scored was on the day I got married.
Yeah, Villa, the Villa game.
Yeah.
And even that, it had a massive Robert Fleck. So you'd think, oh, well, surely you give it to Son. And he's, you know, Harry Kane's buried it. So on the back of that, who takes our free kicks next season?
Well, it'll be Kane. We know this.
It shouldn't be, should it?
Yeah, but. I don't know. I mean, it's...
It should not be him because we've seen Son score goals score free kicks from range for his national team. And Harry Kane hasn't done that throughout his career. He's done everything else impeccably. But he's free
kicks. Well, maybe this is the season. I don't know. But he will not be letting anyone else take those free kicks. It just will not happen.
He needs to. It's airs of, I'm taking my ball home if you don't let me take the free kick.
I'm all right with that. I don't mind it. You know, he'll get there. He's too good not to. You know, and we've got a free kick specialist coming in now. If you're going to have a free kick specialist help anyone with any ability in the whole squad, that's who you want to be putting that finishing touch on, him. So he'll certainly start doing it. That's for sure.
Fair enough. Let's finish on a final question from Boho. You know, is do you like cheese?
No, I hate cheese. It's disgusting.
It's not disgusting, is it?
I've never eaten, even before I didn't eat that sort of stuff, I never ate cheese. I hate it. It's the thing I hate, probably the thing I hate most in the entire world. You know, you know the stuff I hate. You know, poverty, racism.
I don't like kids dying.
Ages, you know, ages.
Side of that, cheese. But you don't have a nice cheese sandwich.
It's disgusting. I can't think of anything. How do you even describe it in a night? Like, it's first of all, you've raped.
Wait
a minute.
No, you're not doing the vegan thing.
I'm not. But first of all, you have raped someone to make that milk, right? To start with, right?
But before, when you ate meat.
But that's fine. It's okay. We're fine. It's fine with that. You know, we've raped someone. That's fine. You know, bygones be bygones, right? She's gone fine. You know, you're welcome to it. You've got your milk, right? Then what do? You kind of put it away and let it just mold. Basically, just go, well, leave that, stick that in that barrel for a bit. Just let's leave it for as long as we can to make it go all sorts of different colours and textures, like with mould and bacteria. Then we'll eat it. Love that. Explain in any other format of food, it doesn't happen.
I just like a nice cheese sandwich.
Well, that's fine. But, you know, just appreciate where I'm coming from, that's all.
We can't end on that. That's mental.
Well, it's not mental because all I've described is facts. There's nothing factually incorrect about any of that.
No, but people don't want to hear it, mate.
Well, it's tough. People don't want to see kids getting blown up, but it happens.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Mm.
All right, I think that's a good point to end on the podcast. thank you, Alex.
Cheers, mate.
I want to see you soon at my wedding. I could make that. Yeah, could make it. It's my fucking wedding, mate.
Oh, it's all right. I mean, it's September's busy. We got, you know, we're on a little trip before that as well, aren't we? So,
what? No, that's after.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Did I tell you?
You're a fuck. You are.
It's someone else's outrageous wedding. Are we allowed to talk about the other person's? I don't know if that's.
What, John Bass?
Yeah, we're allowed to talk about.
Of course we are. Yeah.
And we're going to Italy, aren't we, for John's wedding?
Yeah, and after my wedding.
Yeah. But John texted me the other week and said, mate, can you just let me know like flight details and where you're staying and blah, blah, blah. And I'll, you know, sort out all the bits we need to sort out. And I was like, yeah, here you go. Send it to him. And he was like, is that the dates you've booked? I said, yeah. He said, that's Flav's wedding, not mine.
Yeah.
So I had to cancel it. And then
you got the money back.
Well, I didn't pay for it. Yeah, luckily, you rang me the day after and said, oh, do you want to, you know.
Yeah, now we're spending three nights in Italy together.
Yeah, I've got two. I'm going to try and move my flight so I can get on the same one as you. But yeah, well, I'm excited.
Well, don't do that.
Why?
I'm just going to be with my missus. It'd be a bit awkward for you sort of hanging around.
Well, yeah, but you're the one that asked me to come and stay in the same bed as both of you.
Just doing it for the podcast, boy.
It's only a one bedroom place. Is that what we've got? Just one bed between the three of us?
Yeah. I'll sleep on the floor.
Be like that scene of Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Just all three of us in bed having dinner, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely. All right, Al.
Lovely.
Take care, man. Love you.
Blah, 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 blah.
We don't give a fuck. running, but they're funny like a dummy in the bummy of your mummy. Fighting cock and we don't give a shit. Everybody knows flat bait's a prick. We can get a sticky in the mini sucking willy. When you're getting grilly, yeah, you're gonna bang the millie. Bang, bang.
Social Podcast Network. Sports 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 Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and GEICO is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to GEICO.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.